Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Still stuck on hold and paying too much for insurance? Switch to M&M Insurance Agency. Real people, real options, real savings. Call 601-651-6001 or visit M&MInsuranceAgency.net today.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Let's go, everybody. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here at Oak Grove, Mississippi. Not a cloud in the sky as I look out the window. We're glad you're with us this afternoon. Opening segment sponsored by Dickie's Barbecue Pit, as it is every day. Bob, Dima, Kelly's back, pink glasses and all. And Sander wanted to let you know that we had a guest in the studio yesterday who walked back over there into Jessica's office, which is adorned in pink, a pink Marilyn Monroe, a lot of stuff on the walls. And what's the first thing the man said, Dima?
Oh, that must be Kelly's office.
Your reputation precedes you, Sander.
It's okay. I still only paid 50 cents for those glasses, and they work just fine.
You've got them with you again
today? I do.
What would you call that right there? Is that like a...
That's more of a purple.
Yeah, I think it's a violet sort of...
Yeah, kind of...
Lavender, maybe?
Do you have 100 of these? I feel like that's the...
Yeah, do you collect
50th
them?
Pair you've had on this month.
Well, you know, I try to be a fashion plate. You know, I pick out whatever clothes I'm wearing and get glasses that'll match it.
You're doing a hell
and
of a job.
And he doesn't pay a dime for any of that.
Yeah, you're doing a hell of a job. There's no question about that. All right.
Sure is good to be back.
We missed you, can you tell?
Yeah.
Daniel Stewart's going to join us a little later, and he and Dima and Kelly and I will be talking baseball. Dima was at the scrimmage yesterday. Daniel's our baseball analyst. But first, we've got some really good news. Todd Monk has been on this show several times through the years, always very accessible. We hope to get him back on in the next week or so. I figure, though, Kelly, he's pretty busy. He's the new head coach of the Cleveland Browns. Congratulations to Coach Munkin.
We knew that he was interviewing for a third time, and this relationship with the Browns really goes back for quite some time. He was in the running before Kevin Stefanski got that job, and Munkin was the runner-up at that point. And he shared with us, not on the air, but in our private conversations, that he said the Browns made a mistake. He said, I was the guy for that job. I should have gotten it then.
And he actually, as I recall, said they blanked up.
Yes, they did. And you can insert whatever word you think would work there. And that would be the accurate term that he used.
Yes, that's Mr. Munkin.
But when he interviewed for the third time, we thought like that this was going to be the time that that the Browns and he agreed to a deal. Now, I know that he's busy as new head coach of the Browns, but not so busy that on his cell phone contact, he hasn't already changed it to Todd Munkin, Cleveland Browns. So,
well, this is, of course, historic because no Southern Miss football coach has ever become an NFL head coach. I mean, this is a really positive day for Southern Miss, I think, guys.
Yeah, it really is. And it's funny to see on Twitter the reaction to it. There's a lot of people who are commenting on his overall record at Southern Miss saying, well, if he couldn't win at Southern Miss, you know, then how is he going to win at the Cleveland
Browns? They
don't
really understand the story.
I was like, oh, yeah. And, you know, nobody understands what he was handed in 2013 after that 2012 season. Of course, his first season here, he went 1-11 in 2013. In 2014, they saw some improvement, 3-9. And then in 2015, he almost won the Conference USA Championship.
He went to the championship. Man.
So, you know, and that was before the transfer portal. That was before NIL. You know, that was where it really did take coaches 2 or 3 years to get a program back to national relevance.
Right.
And you give him a lot of credit for that. And, of course, he went on to – you know, OC at several different outlets. He went to Georgia, went to Baltimore, and
the Bucks.
Yeah,
OC
Bucks
for the Bucks.
Yep. And now he's obviously the head coach at Cleveland. And it's funny that I thought we all thought this was going to happen 2 or 3 years ago when Cleveland was looking for a coach and thought that he was an obvious choice. And now it seems that choice has been fulfilled.
The reason I think that he's unique in that landscape in Cleveland is he's still statistically not a very old man, but coaching-wise, he's a real old man.
Yeah.
I mean, he is old school. And that's something that I think the NFL has a little bit gotten away from. And if you're, you know, if you're in Los Angeles or if you're in these high glitz places, you can kind of get away with it. But there are very few blue collar towns like Cleveland is, right? Yeah. And I think that hard nose that he has for football will be a good fit there. Now, it's no secret that he comes from an offensive background, and the Browns have really struggled. They've got to get a quarterback situation that they like long term. Shedeur Sanders is going to the Pro Bowl this year, but only because a lot of other people, you know, declined because his numbers certainly wouldn't warrant that.
He certainly didn't merit being in the Pro Bowl, not did he?
No, but he does have some other options there. And honestly, I was a little surprised that Cleveland was as bad as they were this year. Of course, the linchpin of the whole Cleveland team is Myles Garrett on the defensive line. The Browns have got a great defensive front, so you bring in an offensive guy to try to help right this offensive ship, and I think it's a great hire for Cleveland.
I do too. He has never done anything but win wherever he was, and Demon made such a great point. If you didn't know the real story at Southern Miss, you wouldn't know that it was probably as remarkable a coaching job as you could have asked a person to pull off in 3 years.
And also with Cleveland.
And it's important to note at that time, right? Like, right. I think nowadays you would expect someone to do it quicker. You know, you expected Charles Huff to come in here and turn the ship really quickly. Charles Huff would not have been 7-5 this year if he wouldn't have brought in all those transfers.
The, right? The other reason that he makes sense for Cleveland is he's already coming from the AFC North as the offensive coordinator at Baltimore. So he already knows the Cleveland personnel. He knows the Steelers. He knows the Bengals. He knows all those other teams in the division. So I just think even though Cleveland took its time and was kind of late in the coaching carousel plunge.
They got a good one.
They got a good one. I agree. And there might be people that'll go, look, he's never been a head coach at the NFL level, but he's like you said, Bob, whatever position he's been in, he's been successful. I have no reason to think that this is not going to be the case here either.
I have to believe, maybe I'm wrong, but I have to believe he would be the first coach to ever be a head coach at a Mississippi university to go on and become an NFL head coach. Am I wrong there? I can't think who it would have been.
We'll have to get our crack staff, but of course
we'll have to get the investigative.
The Super Talk investigative team.
Yes, crank them up.
Of course, you would think that the next one is down there at LSU right now. That would be maybe the next.
Lane Kiffin.
Considering his dad, you know, had an extensive career in the National Football League, if there was going to be another one, he would be the logical next one. I would think.
Well, he'd probably depart before the playoffs if that was the case.
Yeah, LSU's got to make the playoffs first.
Yeah, for the next highest bidder.
Right.
Well, congratulations to Coach Monken, man. We couldn't be happier for him. Good deal.
And he never, even when he hit the big time, so to speak, air quotes, he never forgot. He always would agree to come on our program.
If you're willing to come on this program, then you're a pretty nice guy.
Because the pace,
some Twitter accounts aren't willing to come on this program.
Yeah, correct.
Exactly. The pace.
He came on with his real name.
And the pay scale for the Eagle Hour, I thought might have scared Todd Monken away, but he said, no, I'll do it anyway.
Yeah. Well, we're going to try to get him back on. I think we probably will, when the dust settles down, be able to get him back on the show. And he's a great interview. There's no question. You just got to be on your P's and Q's.
And you got to have that button ready to push.
You better have the button ready to push. Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, congratulations to Coach. All right. Basketball again tonight, Dima.
Really? No, I'm just kidding. No.
Women's basketball.
Women's basketball. Yeah, they're out at Georgia Southern tonight, back on the road, of course. It seems like they're always on the road. You know, there was a graphic for the men's that it said it's been like 100 days since they played in front of students, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I think it was 50 days, something like that. I don't remember. But anyways, women's basketball out on the road at Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern, one of the better teams in the Sun Belt, by the way. 15-5, 8-2 overall. So it's going to be a pretty tough challenge, and this is a women's team who needs to get back on the right track. Obviously, right now 11-9 overall, but they're 4-5 in the league. So they're going to keep going down if they keep losing these road games. They've got to find a way to get one or two. Tonight will be tough, though, against a really good Georgia Southern women's basketball team.
And the problem with the Lady Eagles right now is they can't get their two players to have good games at the same time.
Right, it'll be either Carly Keats has a good game and then Ja'Kayla Johnson.
Right.
You know, a bad game for her is still 15, 20 points, you know, or else it'll be Ja'Kayla Johnson with like a 30-point game and Carly Keats with two.
Right.
You know, so.
So if you can get both of them cranking at the same time, you got a much better chance, even though anytime you're on the road, it's going to be tough.
Need to win a couple, though, on the road. And the tonight would be a great win for them if they can pull this off. And then the men come back home this week.
Tomorrow night, they will be at home at 7 o'clock against App State. We are working on getting the App State radio and TV guys to join us to tell us what the Mountaineers have. They're looking for a little payback after football season. So App State comes in here tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, and then the men will be at home on Saturday afternoon as well.
Must-win games for the men, Dima?
You got to win one of them. I don't think both are technically must-win, but you got to win. You got to just win. You just got to win one of them.
They need to get
this losing streak off the back. It's been a bad month for them.
So. Yeah, no question. So maybe things bounce back for both squads.
And again, not looking for a number one seed, right? No. Just a top six.
Right now, the men, I just did the math, the men are the 9 seed, right? Well, we could do that later. I'll do it later. We'll do it again.
All right, Dima was at the baseball scrimmage yesterday, came back pretty excited about some of those pitchers he saw. Daniel Stewart's in the house. He's our baseball analyst and former Southern Miss thrower himself. We'll talk baseball next.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Eagle Tire West sponsors this segment of the program. Matt Warren and his staff invite you to see them for premium Goodyear products, full service, auto and truck service. Eagle Tire West is located on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. It's family operated since 1985. Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West. Goodyear Tires, full service, big, big Southern Miss supporters. As is MCS Home Center for home repair, home remodeling, home construction. Everything you need for your next project, home, lawn, or garden. They've got it at MCS Home Center in Bellevue. Local folks eager to help you, 7329 Highway 98 West. Speaking of local folks, Daniel Stewart's in the studio with us. He's our baseball analyst and one of the head guys down at Southern Bank Corps. And Daniel, always good to see you. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming in here. Thank
you. All right, Daniel, our man here, Dima, was at scrimmaging yesterday. I want Dima to describe what he saw from pitching and then get your thoughts as a former pitcher.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, since it was so cold out, it was basically one inning per pitcher yesterday at the scrimmage. We saw almost everybody on the back end of the bullpen there. Dylan Causey started for the Gold. He looked pretty good. 86 mile an hour on the cutter, 92 on the fastball. Really sat down the heart of Southern Miss's order in Urban, Higdon, and Russo, all flyouts to the outfield. Jake Neely came on. He looked pretty good. Gillespie hit a home run, 108 miles an hour, 425 feet to center field off of Willoughby. But then Willoughby bounced back after that and got a strikeout on his nasty slider from that left side. Littleton looked good. A couple strikeouts there for him. Jackson Parker came on and got some strikeouts. It was a lot of pitchers, a lot of strikeouts, not a lot of contact. You could probably point to the cold air for that. But
sure.
Back end pitching is important. We're going to hear a lot about Colby Allen's, the Graydon Harris's, but these back end arms, they need them to be good this season.
Yeah. Oh, you've got to. You can rely on those guys we know that have done well in the past for us and going to do well in the future this year for us. But it's always kind of a question in my head is who's going to be those guys that step up that, get those, if your starter gets pulled in the fifth or sixth, who's going to get you the seventh and eighth inning? A lot of times at the beginning of the year, you don't know who that is. Mm-hmm. A lot of that is going to be determined in some of these early spring practices. But really, you know, you're going to figure that out when these guys step on the mound and see who can handle the pressure and get the job done.
Yeah, we all want to talk about the starters. Who's the weekend sure. rotation? Who's the starter on Tuesday night? But if you don't have that back end support, you're going to lose a lot of ball games late, aren't you?
Yeah, you are. And you know, we saw it last year where, you know, we knew when Colby came in, we could just about call the game. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you got to get to him. And he started throwing a couple innings there towards the end of the year. But there were still a lot of guys that had to step up and close the gap between our starters, who fortunately last year, man, we had some guys that could get deep into the game. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you got to bridge the gap. You got to have those guys that can do it.
Well, the good news is you've got Colby Allen, Dima, that will undoubtedly start on a weekend. But you don't have Colby Allen, as Daniel just said, on the rear end. Who do you see stepping up to be that guy?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a couple guys. You know, obviously I mentioned earlier this week about Camden Clark being that kind of closer guy if they needed him to be on the back end. Of course, you got Cross Civilly back. He's played so much bullpen for Southern Miss and is a really reliable arm there. You know, I thought Littleton looked really good. Dylan Causey, he's a freshman, but he was first up and, like I said, just kind of shut down three of Southern Miss's best bats in Urban, Higdon, and Russo. Jake Neely also looked really good. I think Willoughby. I mean, Willoughby, I think if he could command his stuff, he could be a Justin Storm type guy. You know, he's a left-handed pitcher, and I don't know exactly his height. I'm going to pull up the roster right here, but he's just a tall guy with a really good slider fastball mix, which is really sometimes all you need was from the left side. And Southern Miss, I mean, the batters couldn't hit it at all, outside of Davis Gillespie, who's looks like a monster, hit one to center field in cold conditions. But if he can command that slider fastball that Willoughby has, I mean, I think he could be your Justin Storm type of guy. So they have so many options. And then, of course, we cannot forget about Josh Hawk. He came in at the very end sure. of the end of the scrimmage yesterday and just lights out. I mean, just shut down the lineup. So we'll see.
That's good to hear. And Josh Hawk, yeah. Daniel, an important piece here. He really needs to step up.
He really is. You know, we talked about the guy that can bridge the gap, and he's definitely the guy that I would expect to kind of fill that position this year and maybe even move into that closer role, just kind of depending on how things mm-hmm. go throughout yeah. the year. But it's actually – I'm glad to hear that the pitchers did well yesterday because, man, when we threw inter squads, we always got shelled. We were so ready for the season to start because we'd been getting – home runs hit off us all the time, so glad to hear our pitchers mm-hmm. are doing well.
Yeah, Brooks Willoughby, 6'5", yeah, and a left-handed pitcher. Kid. I mean, that's going to be – if he could just command his stuff, I mean, that's a Justin Storm right there.
I was about to say, wasn't Storm 6'4",
6'5"? Yeah, he's Storm. Right in there. Yeah. So.
Daniel, I was doing a podcast earlier this week with Brian Dozier, and he talked about when he was here that his freshman year he played every single game, mm-hmm. every single game, freshman All-America. But that's really unusual. And from a yeah. pitcher's side, how tough is it for these kids to come from high school and then face Division I batting, and especially the type of competition the Golden Eagles are going to be playing early?
Yeah, it really is tough because, you know, you had practice in high school. You had seven-inning games in high school. So making that transition to where your school, your practice every single day, then you're jumping into these big three-game, nine-inning ball games every weekend, you're living and breathing baseball 24/7 during the spring. So it is a definite adjustment that these guys have to make. So the Brian Doziers of the world that step in and get it done and are successful, it's really a testament to them, to how they made that transition from the high school game to the college game in Division I at that.
And of course, he was a little exceptional.
A little bit.
He was a little better, better than the average.
I will say one thing I did notice, and this is kind of off of pitching. I did not think the defense was any good yesterday. There were several errors. I think Southern Miss fans should be prepared for center field not to be as good as it has the past few seasons, which is fine because you had three studs out there with Etzel, Jake Cook, and McIntyre. But I really thought, you know, at times Stelly kind of looked lost out there. He let two fly balls kind of drop in front of him. They missed some plays in right field by Tonsmeyer, who's the backup to Higdon. And Oz got the whole infield in towards the end of the scrimmage. He brought them all to the mound, and you saw that head bobbing. I mean, it was a very sloppy defensive play. So hopefully they can clean that up, and you want to see that at the scrimmage versus a game. But I would just prepare Southern Miss fans for that side of it, that I just didn't think the defense looked particularly good. So I don't know.
You have to depend on your pitching early in the year, Daniel.
Oh, gosh, you got to depend on them all year.
But I mean, early in the year till the team gels. Because the balls just don't seem to come off the bats in cold weather.
They don't. And, you know, it's a struggle to pitch in cold weather. You know, it takes a little bit more time to get warmed up, keep your arm warmed up. But I've always said it is, if the pitchers can do their job, keep the big part of the bat off the ball, put these guys in position to make plays. You know, everything kind of works for a pitcher if they can do that. So defense really has to rely on the pitchers to put them in a position to play good defense, especially in this cold weather.
What's your observation? Let me give you mine. The first thing that jumped out at me last Friday, I went to the scrimmage Friday, is how big physically this baseball team is. We got some guys that look like, to me, that could play defensive line in football.
Oh, yeah.
When you were playing, were players as physically big as the Golden Eagles are now?
You know, we had a few guys that were big. A guy named John Nicholas was big. He came out to the Big John song. You know, it's kind of his thing. He was a big guy. But I do remember us being a lot more wiry and scrawny than a lot of these guys are these days. But I attribute that to just the workouts that these guys are on. We didn't do quite that intensive of workouts as they do nowadays. And you can see in guys hitting the ball a lot further, throwing a lot harder. We seemed to be a lot more on the skinny side back then than we are now.
Well, and this team looks unusually big. Well,
I've seen Russo around town a couple times, and I'm always amazed at just what a big, stocky kid he is. So glad he's on our side.
Yesterday, J.W. Armistead came out to pitch, and I just don't know if I didn't remember this, but, you know, he's 6'5", 215 now. No. I don't remember him ever being that big. And he came out and just struck out every batter he faced. He looks really good. Chase Adams, back from surgery. You know, they didn't have him in the fall. And he came out on the last inning, struck out two guys from the left side. And you could hear in the press box the bullpen cheering because, you know, it's just good to see him back and healthy.
Good.
And, again, if he – I'm just – there's so many arms at their disposal. I just don't remember how – I don't remember a team with this many arms at their disposal. I mean, every one of them could go the distance.
Well, I can remember talking about Chase 2 years ago, right as kind of Colby was emerging. It was kind of Chase and Colby in this middle relief role kind of battling out. Unfortunately, you know, Chase kind of came down with some arm injuries, and Colby, you know, grew into the guy that he is today. So, you know, knowing that he's back and having some success, I think he can be a real big contributor for us this year also.
All right, Daniel, we appreciate you coming by. You're going to come by and visit with us during the kickoff here in 2 weeks. And you're going to be our analyst every week. And the only problem that we have with you is we heard Kelly was invited to the Mardi Gras program.
Well, you know, I didn't want to hurt his feelings too bad. So, yeah, he got the invitation this year. So we're looking forward to having him and all you guys come and visit.
Can we get there early so we can make sure we have something?
I will be there early,
and,
so you guys get there as early as you'd like to get there.
How much trouble did you have getting him to leave last year?
Well, you know, I don't really remember when Kelly leaving, but he was there for a good while.
And, I figured.
But, you know, come when it opens, leave when it's when it was
check
shut
his
down,
pockets.
So he's welcome the whole time.
Check his pockets when he's leaving. That would be my guess.
We'll have all the cash locked up that day.
that'd be a real good idea. Thank you, Daniel. Daniel Stewart, thanks, everybody. Guys. Eagle Hour will be right back.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, glad you're with us. DBAT sponsors this segment of our program. They're on Hardy Street. Baseball, softball training, extraordinaire. Training for every athlete of every sport if you're an adult. They got a beautiful facility, great pro shop, and a lot of experts down there that can really help you very much. Forest Health reminds you that keeping up with your favorite team is fun, but don't forget about the most important player, that's you. Be sure you get an annual physical to be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home, foresthealth.org. Actually, around there this week some, and God, the people are so compassionate and kind there. Guys, I think we have a listener here. I'm going to take this call and let you guys hang the show for a second. Go ahead, Dima.
I just wanted to comment on something that Daniel Stewart, a follow-up to what he was talking about. Dima, early in the season, what is reasonable, you know, to expect from any baseball team? Pitching is always going to have the advantage in the early part of the year.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't expect that to be any different this year, particularly as good as Southern Miss pitchers have been. I expect them to be way ahead of a lot of these hitters early on.
Well, you'd hope so, because a lot of them are on pitch counts early. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. The defense concerns me just a little bit because, you know, they lost the two infielders between Pratt and Monastir, and, of course, they lost Cook out in center field and Pato in right field. So they have a lot of these holes. Now, I think it's going to get better. I don't think it's going to be, like, just terrible the whole season. But I wonder if they have some growing pains over the first few weeks.
But you can also afford to have that happen if you're going to score more runs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's some more leeway.
I don't
there.
Think it's like an indictment that they're going to be terrible. Yeah. I'm not saying that. It's just something that Southern Miss fans generally aren't used to seeing,
right.
You know, so.
All right, let me interrupt you guys. I think we have – are you still with me, caller?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Okay. Is this Mr. Johnson?
Yes, sir.
All right, this is Ben Johnson. Ben, I think, is a listener of the Eagle Hour. And yesterday, Deem and I were – earlier in the week, we had a discussion here about basketball and the future of the basketball program. And some of our listeners – and we welcome this. Some of our listeners didn't really agree with some of the things we said. I think it was more of a matter of perhaps a little misinterpretation. We were in no way saying that we don't think you have to win to be a successful a coach at any school. But anyway, Ben Johnson is a listener. And so we invited the guys that maybe didn't agree with us to call us and talk to us and let us hear their opinion. And we're delighted that Ben called. Ben, thank you so much for calling the Eagle Hour, and tell us what bothered you about what we said the other day. You're always welcome here to express your opinion.
Thank you, there, Mr. Bob. I listen to y'all every day. I listen to y'all's podcast every day. I don't agree with everything y'all say, but I still listen to it because y'all give some good insight.
Thank you.
But I really wasn't called to talk about basketball because I really don't watch it that much.
All right.
I've heard some Southern Miss games here and there, but I want to call and talk some baseball with y'all.
Well, you're welcome to do it. And, you know, Ben, if you listen to the show a lot, you can probably tell we like talking about baseball. So
I just wanted to tell y'all that I'm excited, you know, for the new season, and I think we're going to be in good shape, you know. I heard y'all talk about the arms, and I ain't had a chance to make the scrimmage and watch them yet. But, I just hope, you know, Colby Allen can be the starter. We tried him a couple of times last year, but it really didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, hopefully McCarty English is back good. And I think Thomas Crabtree and
Graydon
Harris.
What's
the little guy's name?
Yeah. Graydon Harris.
Yeah, Graydon Harris. I think he's gonna get better.
Yeah. Ben, I wanted to ask you, just as a Southern Miss fan, just because it's nice to have, you know, the fans on and kind of their thoughts, what is your overall thoughts on the state of the athletic program right now? I mean, you know, it was a decent football season, I guess we could say, you know, one more than previous years. But, I mean, did it really leave you anything exciting for next year? Did it leave you excited for next year? Obviously, basketball right now is struggling, and everybody kind of just seems like holding their breath until baseball season. I'm just curious to see if we, as people who cover the university, if we represent that side of the fan base right now, or is the fan base completely thinking different things about the state of the athletic program?
I'll tell you what the fan base is thinking as a whole. Like, everything's a dumpster fire besides the baseball program. And actually, the golf team has been doing really good. That guy y'all interviewed not too long ago, I've been keeping up with him.
Mm-hmm.
That guy might actually be in the tour one day.
Yeah.
So, like,
and
yeah,
he's just a freshman, too.
Yeah.
Right. And I was just going to ask y'all, like, I mean, besides, you know, Southern Miss, I think we're going to be all right this year in baseball. But who's y'all's other – 2 to 3 teams at the top of the Sun Belt, and who, like, maybe your dark horses, because I'll give y'all mine. Because I listen to, like, D1 baseball, the Diamond Report, and, you know, I keep up with all that, and I keep up with college baseball as a whole.
Yeah. Well, my opinion is that Coastal, obviously, will be very good again. I think Troy.
Fluky.
Yeah, Troy
Fluky
has.
And Bodine's coming back.
Correct. Troy has a really good coach. That young guy has done a really good job there with that program. So I would definitely expect Troy and Coastal to be very strong. I don't think you ever count Louisiana out in baseball. The Raging Cajuns just always seem to be around at the end of the year. And I guess, Ben, if I had a dark horse, hey, you guys are going to laugh at me. I think the dark horse might be App State. I just think that their program is on an upset.
I was going to go with
Marshall.
I was going to go with Marshall. Yeah, the Thundering Herd.
Yes.
I think they're a team that might be kind of sneaky
good. New stadium, new momentum.
And I'll tell you who I would not want to be, even though the expectations are lofty. I would not want to be Coastal right now because I think the expectations are way out of whack.
Yeah, they're crazy.
Way out of whack.
You know, I'm going to say a team that I think none of y'all will probably guess, and it's going to sound crazy when I say this, but I expect big things from Arkansas State.
Arkansas State.
Yeah, Arkansas State.
Mike Silva from Nichols is good.
Yes, and so, you know, they brought in over him, of course. You know, not a great season last year, of course, 26-28. But if you remember, they came to the Peat, pushed Southern Miss and J.B. Middleton in that Friday night game. Probably should have won that game. Of course, they lost the next two and got swept. But they have a lot of bats returning. They have some decent pitching returning.
Right.
And sometimes that's really all you need to be decent in the Sun Belt, to have good bats and maybe two or three good arms. I'm not saying they're going to challenge Southern Miss or Coastal, but I think they could very well be the 3 or 4 seed in the tournament.
All right, Ben, let's hear your thoughts.
Yeah, that's pretty much my thing. You're gonna have, you know, I ain't trying to jinx this because we don't need no TTT moments this year. But I think, you know, I'm going with Southern Miss and Coastal kind of at the top, and then you know you got the, you don't never know what the Raging Cajuns is gonna do, or La La, what we like to call them,
right?
Or but Arkansas State was on my listen to a like Mike Silva. I've always kept up with him, and I listened to his podcast. Yeah, he says they got a lot coming back. He's like a young, fiery coach. And, you know, I ain't going to lie to you, even though I hate Marshall, I hope their program burns down. I'm just joking. But anyway, but Marshall has been like, they done built a new baseball stadium. They beat us in a series last year.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate to say, I mean, they actually might get better and better each year. Ben, that's just my prediction.
Ben, you talked about the TTT moments. I asked somebody, I said, how would you describe a TTT moment, and they said the best way to describe a TTT moment is when we TT all over ourselves.
That's right. Hey, it's Omaha or bust this year, boys. We've been on the hill. It's time to get over the hump to Omaha. I want to go to Rocco's.
Wow, man, you brought
take some Jello shots.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Ben, I want to thank you, man, for reaching out, and you know, you and everyone that listens to the show, we really appreciate you more than you know.
I'm sorry, boys. I was sick. That's why I sound crazy.
No,
can I say one more thing?
You can say anything you like. Go ahead.
I would just like to say, as a whole college baseball world, I would hope one day Mississippi State decides to give their COVID national championship trophy back to NC State. I sure appreciate that.
Good
quit bragging about it, because at least Ole Miss earned there. Thank y'all, boys.
That's right. A great argument.
Thank you a lot, Ben. Ben Johnson, everybody.
Here, we thought
good
we were,
to hear from listeners.
Yeah, we thought we were going to get hammered about something.
That, he was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, we thought he might be a little mad at us about basketball. But look, whether he was or not, that's great. You're welcome to
but
call.
But here's
Harry.
The deal. Is
we
stand by what we say. If you text us and say you want to come on the show and debate us, we'll have you on.
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, we welcome that.
Yeah, it doesn't bother us.
I'd like that. That is a weekly feature to bring some fans.
Well, we tried it last 2 years ago with Fan Fridays and that kind of.
Well, I think what when people, Bob, and I think you made the preface early on saying that we're personal friends with Jay Ladner. And as soon as a lot of people heard that, they went, okay, this is all going to be pro Jay Ladner spin. But we also said, look, we understand if Jeremy McClain decides to make a move at the end of the year, we understand that you could make a certainly a good case for that happening. But we're just saying you have to take the entire picture into perspective. We're not saying whether he should or whether he shouldn't.
Right.
We're going to be friends one way or the other.
Right.
And Jay Ladner knows that this is big business.
Well, the facts are the facts. And the fact is that he's been here for, what, 7 years now? Seven? One winning season, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's already a bad thing.
Right.
And that's nobody can debate that. He wouldn't even try to debate that. But you can also look at the reasons for that happening and kind of, you know, piece together, you know, that you can't just completely blame him for all those records. Some of it was injury. Some of it's, you know, this and this and that. But there's also part of it's like, even despite that, sometimes it's just a business and you got to make a move.
Sure.
I think that's well said. I think that pretty much summed it up. Hey, Mo Bay Beignet Company, great place to go for a wonderful dessert, 2902 Hardy Street. Check out their Facebook page. Great toppings. Right now they've got a Mardi Gras box you can buy, Kelly, with like 8 beignets and 3 or 4 different toppings.
Well, what are the rest of you going to eat?
When we come back, we're going to look at where the teams would be in the tournament if the season ended today. Also, the softball preseason poll came out, and Southern Miss is a little down there.
As Lucille Ball used to tell Ricky Ricardo, as Ricky Ricardo used to tell Lucy, we got some splaining to do.
Yeah. A lot of work.
All that and more coming up.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, 4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors the fourth segment of the Eagle Hour, and we appreciate all that they've done through the years. Great place for a good lunch, good meal. Great place to catch the next game. Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of our program. Their SUVs and sedans are all available at their exclusive dealership on Highway 98 West. And don't forget about the podcast. Lots of people listen to it every day on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube. Alexa or Siri will play it for you. I want to thank listener Ben Johnson for joining us today, and also our good friend Daniel Stewart from Southern Bank Corps. All right, Demon News and Notes.
Yes, so let's start with the softball conference, Sun Belt Conference, not softball conference, the Sun Belt Conference softball preseason awards. Southern Miss was ranked 11th out of 12 teams to finish in the preseason coaches poll. Texas State was number one, ULM number two, Louisiana number three, Coastal four, Marshall five, App State six, James Madison seven, Georgia Southern eight, Troy nine, South Alabama 10th, Southern Miss at 11, and Georgia State at 12. Southern Miss had one player on the preseason All-Sun Belt team, and that was Hannah Christian, the outfielder, who led the team in batting last season. So there's your preseason accolades for the Southern Miss softball team.
One of the things that jumps out at me in that poll is, I don't know if you heard Dima, but if listeners heard Dima, but he actually said Louisiana Monroe
second. Yeah.
Which, you know, I've kind of beaten up on poor Louisiana Monroe, but finally they've got a team that people can maybe say this might be the team this year, the softball team, in the preseason poll ranked second.
Yeah, for sure. I also wanted to show the listeners exactly where both Southern Miss, by the way, that ULM team last season, 35-22, 14-10 in conference, and I think they have a lot of girls coming back. So, but I wanted to give our listeners kind of an overarching view about where Southern Miss would be in both men's and women's basketball if the season ends today, as we're kind of at the halfway mark between the conference. Southern Miss in women's basketball sitting at 9th overall with a 4-5 record. According to the bracket, that would put them in the second round, and they would, you know, that would put them in a 1 week bye at the 9 seed with a 1 week bye. So,
but they'd still have to win about what, 5 games.
Yeah, that would be 6 games needed to win there in the women's basketball. In the men's basketball, Southern Miss is ranked, I think, also 9. If I'm doing math correctly, yeah, 9 at the Southern Miss. So both teams right now currently sit at that first round bye, which means they would have to win 6-7 games to win. I did not just say 6-7, but 6 or 7 games to win the Sun Belt tournament.
And we talked about early in the season how the men were able to get road wins at Lafayette and at Monroe. But we've also documented that everybody is winning at Monroe and Louisiana. Yep. So you're really not picking any games up on the field.
And I counted the women wrong. They're actually 8th right now. So that would put them 2 byes. That would put them in the third round on Thursday. But again, if they lose tonight, then they're right back in that place where you don't want to be.
Does the Sun Belt not have the most complex bracketing of any basketball tournament in the country?
Well, I think it's probably the best bracketing, to be honest.
You like it?
I really do. I mean, I think it rewards good regular season, regular seasons, and punishes bad regular seasons.
It's really tough the way the Sun Belt has it set up that one of your top four teams is not going to win the tournament. Because there's just not enough stamina or enough depth for a team that finished, say, ninth or tenth to get hot and have to play
a lot of games.
Every single day for like 5 or 6 days and win them all.
That's a lot of games.
Yeah,
for sure, for sure. Softball, a little surprising. I thought they were improved last year.
Well, we got to remember, and we had Coach Poole on last week, I believe. Yeah. This is a very young team. Right, a lot of sophomores and freshmen. So, despite them having some nice returners, they still have a very young team that they're going to put out there inexperienced. But I still think their schedule probably gives them a nice little opening month and a half in that non-conference schedule where they can start to find themselves and figure out which positions they need to put players in. But I think they'll be competitive in the Sun Belt. I agree with that. The 11th place is a little low, in my opinion.
Yeah. You know what's the best thing could happen to the men's basketball team? Would be for a big crowd to get show up. They've been gone so long. They have been through a lot in the last couple of weeks. A nice crowd over the weekend, when they come back home, I think could help a lot.
And when you look at this schedule, they get such a, it seems like they have such a long Christmas break, like about the first week of December.
Not to mention the students.
That's what I'm talking about. All the way to the middle part of January. That's 6 weeks where even if you're playing at home, the students aren't already on campus generally. And avail themselves to basketball games. Yep. So it's a real disadvantage, although other schools are generally in that same boat.
Southern Miss 6-1 at home, 3-9 on the road.
You know, I want to bring up a note about baseball. And, Bob, you'd mentioned last week about this pipeline of talent from Pearl River to Southern Miss. Mm-hmm. And even kind of indirectly, as we mentioned, Crabtree went from Pearl River to Tennessee, now back to Southern Miss. Pearl River opened yesterday an 8-0 win over Coastal Alabama. But I noticed on that Pearl River roster that there are two or three former Southern Miss guys who...
It's a two-way road.
It is. It is getting to be a two-way road. And you know, guys that just didn't get fit in last year, and now they're plugged in very well at Pearl River. So it looks like this relationship with PRC is really healthy.
Let's keep it going. I'm all for it.
It's been profitable up to this point.
Why not have a relationship with the best junior college program in the country? I think that's a pretty good one to have.
Not bad. That's a good place to start.
All right. That wraps up today. Back tomorrow in the studio. As always, thank you for listening. Southern Miss.
To the top.
Into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.